Take your Bibles this morning, please. Turn with me to the book of the Revelation in the New Testament. And the third chapter, Revelation chapter 3, for the message this morning. I'm going to do something this morning that I don't normally do. I've got 5 points to my sermon this morning. 5. I don't ever do that. But I got 5 this morning. So hope you have your roast on a timer this morning. Now, it'll be just a regular time, but I got 5 little quick things I want to show you this morning from the text that I have chosen. Revelation chapter 3. Now, you are familiar with the book of the Revelation, and you know that chapter 2 and chapter 3 contain the 7 letters to the 7 churches. The third chapter, where we're going to take our thoughts this morning, and this is the letter to the church at Sardis. This is the church that was dead, and it was. There's a lot of dead churches today, that's for sure. But this is the one that was dead. Now let's read it. You follow along in your Bible as I read. I'll begin reading in verse 1. We'll read down through verse 6. It says, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If, therefore, thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy." Now I want you to notice that. "They shall walk with me in white," wearing white clothes. "They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy." Look at verse 5. "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment." There it is again. "The same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Now, if you'll go back at the last part of verse 4, it says, "And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy." And then notice, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment." I want to speak to you this morning on a message that I've entitled, "Clothed in White Raiment." I just want to show you some things about this white garment, this white raiment that is spoken of here and several other places in the Bible. White is a very important color in the Bible. And I want to speak this morning and just show you a few things that the white garment represents, and I trust it'll be an encouragement and blessing to your heart. All right, let's pray together and then the message. Our Father, we are truly thankful that we have the privilege to be here this morning. There are people all over the world that would love to be in a service to hear a choir like this sing and to hear a message preached. And I pray that you will help us not to take for granted that which you have blessed us with. Lord, for the next 40 minutes, help us just to give our undivided attention to what you have to say. Lord, there is a message here from the Word of God, and it is a message that all of us need, and I pray that you will help us to listen with all we have, that we might glean that which you have for us. And Lord, may we leave here today rejoicing in that we have heard from heaven and that we have done what the Lord wants us to do. Fill me with your Spirit and help me, Lord, as I speak this morning. You know my heart, and I want to be a blessing. I want you to use me, but the only way I can is if, Lord, you will take control and just bless and use use the message to make a difference in our lives. Father, if there's someone here today who is not 100% sure that they're saved and on their way to heaven, I pray that you'll help them to see their need of the Savior this morning. Bless us now, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, earlier this week, I was reading the book of the Revelation just for my own edification, and I came across this fourth and fifth verse where I was told and where we are told that that there's coming a day when we get to heaven, when we get to be with the Lord in His presence, that we will be clothed in white raiment. We will be clothed with a white garment. And when I read that, I just stopped to think about it for a little bit and started to dig around a little bit and see what I could find out about these white garments. And I want to share some things that came to mind that I trust will be an encouragement to you. I know that many of you came out of Reformed churches, or you came out of Catholicism, and you have you are probably familiar with a special Sunday that is in that is found in Reformed churches and in Catholicism that is called Whit Sunday. Any of you ever hear that, Whit Sunday? Sure, many of you have. It is the Sunday that they designate as a day to celebrate what happened on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost of God descended upon the disciples in the upper room. You can read about that in Acts chapter 2. We call it Pentecost Sunday, but throughout much of Reformed theology and out of Roman Catholicism, they simply call it Whit Sunday. Now, the reason they do, where it got its name, Whit Sunday, W-H-I-T, Whit Sunday, is because they've been doing this for millennia now. And on that Sunday that is designated as Whit Sunday, for centuries, for millennia now, parents have wanted to get their children baptized on this day. And so they would decorate or dress the children who were getting baptized in white baptismal robes. And then the white robes turned into Whit Sunday through the years. Churches were decorated all over Europe and all over America, really, on Whit Sunday, and they still are on Whit Sunday decorated in white banners and in white decorations. They're hung all over the place in honor and in celebration of Pentecost. And so the term Whit Sunday or White Sunday is now celebrated every year. Now, the truth is, you can find the color white many, many times in the Scriptures. And it's always very suggestive, and it's always full of symbolism and picture when you find it. I want us to think about the color white this morning, and I want to give you five things that parallel with the color of white. There are five things that I want you to consider in the message about the color white this morning. First of all, I want you to notice that in the Bible, white is always a symbol of purity. Now, that's consistent throughout the Bible. Whether it's Old Testament or whether it's New Testament, the color of white is always a symbol of purity. If you will look at the text verse again, the end of verse 4 and the first part of verse 5, it says, "And they shall walk with me in white, for they are what? Worthy." Then look at verse 5. "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment." Now, the first thing I want you to think about is the fact that white is the symbol of purity. And strangely, white is the symbol of purity in every language and in every culture. And it has been for as long as anyone can remember. I suppose that one of the most familiar verses in the Bible that shows this truth is where the psalmist said, "Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." When you go back into the Old Testament and you read the law, you will find that instruction was given to Moses, and Moses related to the priest that they were to be clothed in white garments as they stood to do any kind of service whatsoever before the Lord in the holy place. As they entered in to serve the Lord, they had to do so wearing white garments. And of course, the idea is that they were to be pure as they were standing and serving the God of heaven. And I want you to notice here in the text that it says that the overcomers will be given a white garment. Now, I want you to think about that phrase for a moment. The overcomers. Now, let me ask you, does that statement worry anybody here this morning? Does that worry anybody? I mean, look at what he said. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. Did anyone just a moment ago say to yourself, wow, if white is the sign and symbol of purity, I suppose I'll never be able to put that garment on. I mean, you know, folks, if we would all just be honest with ourselves for a moment, I think every one of us would feel that we are not worthy to put on that white garment. Because you see, we're all sinners. We're all just sinners. As a matter of fact, God refers to our righteousness as being filthy rags. So if our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, can you imagine how God must view us in all of our sinfulness? You see, we're just sinners. And I suppose if we were all honest, we would all feel that we are not worthy to be able to wear the garment of white, the white raiment, because we don't deserve it. We are sinners. It's by nature what we are. Every fiber of our being is affected by sin. And try as hard as we might, no matter what we try to do, we cannot go without sin. It is just what we do. A dog barks. Why? It's a dog. A duck quacks. Why? It's a duck. And sinners sin. Why? Because we're sinners. It's what we do. It is what we are by nature. And so if you look at yourself, you might wonder, wow, will I ever be able to wear this white raiment? Am I going to be able to do it? Well, folks, look at your Bible. Look at verse 5. He that, now what's the next word? Overcometh. He that overcometh. The answer to the question, can I wear this white raiment, is a great big resounding yes. You can wear this white raiment if you are able to overcome. You say, well, how do I do that? You overcome sin and the effects of sin and the end result of sin by accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It is not you who overcomes, but you overcome through Him, your wonderful Savior. So the answer is, yes, you can overcome, and this white garment can be yours if through Christ you overcome what sin does to us. You see, folks, the white garment is not promised to that person who never sins, for there is no such person. The white garment is promised to that person who overcomes, who is lifted out of the miry clay and placed upon the solid rock by the Savior. The white garment is given to that person who comes to the cross of Christ and claims cleansing through the precious blood of the Lamb. So I want you to realize that the white garment is given to that person who is saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. That person who has overcome what sin has done to us through the blood of Jesus Christ. My question has to be to you then this morning, do you know the Savior? You see, that's the only way that you're going to be able to stand in His presence wearing the garment of white. You're not going to be able to stand there in your own righteousness, because you have none of your own. But you come to Jesus and his righteousness is imputed, his righteousness is given, and through faith in him, I am able to overcome. There's a second thing I want you to consider. Not only is white the symbol of purity, but then secondly, I want you to notice that white is the symbol of victory. Now, I say that because this that's the way it has been in time past. That picture has been, it is all through history, both in the Bible and in ancient times of history. White was the symbol of triumph and victory. Now, today, that has changed a little bit. But in Bible times, and especially throughout history, white has been the symbol of victory. Today, a white flag is a symbol of surrender, but it has not always been so. And in ancient times, it symbolized victory. Let me give you an example of this, and there are several, but I'll just give you one that I think some of you probably are familiar with. In ancient Greek history, there was a man whose name was Theseus, and he was the son of Gigeas, and he was the only son of Gigeas. And the story goes that he got word that his people on the island of Crete were suffering at the hands of a great dragon, and that this dragon was slaying his people. And so he decided that he was going to go to Crete and he was going to fight against this dragon. Now his father did not want him to go because he was his only son. But the son said to the father, "Dad, I've got to go. I'm the only one that can defeat this dragon. And if I don't go, then he'll just continue to kill our people." And so he said, "As I sail," he said, I will be thinking of you. And as I return, I will be thinking of you." And he said, "Father, on my return," he said, you will be able to see out to, look out to the sea, and you will see my ship coming and returning." He said, "On the way back, I will take down the black flag that I fly my ship under, and I will run up a white flag, and when you see it in the distance, you will know that I was successful." And so the days passed, and then the weeks passed, and it took a little longer than normal, and the father was getting greatly concerned about his son's well-being. And as he stood every day and watched the horizon, finally, he saw a ship on the horizon, and he stood anxiously and waited. But in the delay, the son forgot the words that he said to his father, and he did not take down the black flag that he sailed his ship under and put the white one up, but instead came towards the land with his black flag sailing. When the father saw that the flag was black, his heart sunk within him. And he threw himself off the cliff, did not realize what that his son had forgotten. And that's just one example in history. There are multitudes of them that justify my saying that white is a symbol of victory. But it shows us in picture form another very real facet of our text. It shows us that the battles won, which are won in secret, will someday be revealed by the clothes we wear. You see, folks, our most difficult battles in life are often not the ones we fight in the public arena, but our hardest battles are fought where no one sees our struggles. The ones where our character is shaped and revealed, when we are by ourselves. And here's the point. When we fight these battles and struggles by ourselves, when we are standing for God and standing for truth and standing for right, and we fighting within our own selves to do what's right, there is no one there to rejoice with us. When we are more than conquerors, or even when we go down to defeat, who is there to see it? Well, the point is, God sees it. God sees it. And these hidden conflicts of the heart, which we think no one sees, are seen by God. And one day, it will be revealed to us that we were able to win some victories, and we will be rewarded with the white garments of victory. You see, folks, here's the point. The eye of God never blinks. The eye of God never blinks. God sees everything, and He's keeping accurate records of all that goes on. He sees all that we do, and we say, and we think, and we feel. But through Christ, we are more than conquerors, and we will overcome the world and the flesh and the devil. And so our text tells us that all of the hidden issues of today will be visible garments of tomorrow. Paul said it this way. He said, "But thanks be to God, who giveth us the victory in Christ Jesus." I'm saying, folks, that out of our hidden triumphs, God is sewing the robe that we will wear that symbolizes our victory in Jesus. Man, I'm glad I've got a Savior who has given me the victory. Then there's a third thing I want you to notice. I want you to notice, thirdly, that white is a symbol of joy. It's a symbol of joy. We saw first it was a symbol of purity. Second, it is a symbol of victory. Now, number three, white is a symbol of joy. It symbolizes joy because it is the color of white. And is just there's just something joyous about the light. It symbolizes joy because it is the color of light, and there's just something joyous about the light. You know, we don't speak about the sorrow of the day. We speak about the sorrow of the night. You ever notice that? We don't talk about the sorrow of the day. We talk about the sorrow of the night. Many a patient suffering from some terrible sickness or illness has said to me through the years that they hate to see the sun go down, but their joy is renewed when they see it peeking through the window in the morning. You ever notice that at funerals, folks aren't wearing light and lively colors, but they wear black to display their sorrow and the anguish that is in their souls. But you go to another of our great celebrations here in life and look at a wedding. And what do you see? You see white is the color of the happy bride. You see her face, and the joy and the excitement she shows in her face is even more radiant than the brilliance of her dress. Well, folks, I'm here this morning to report to you that the overcomer shall be clothed in white raiment. And white is a symbol of joy. You know, there's not a whole lot to be joyful about down here, is there? I mean, look at the mess our world is in. And it's only getting a bigger mess as each day goes by. Do you realize that things are getting worse, not getting better? You do understand that, right? Don't listen to the media who is telling you that everything is getting better. It is not getting any better. The whole job of the media is to prop up this progressive liberalism, this socialism that has been crammed down our throats, and that's their job, and it's only going to increase as we get closer to the election. But you don't fall for that now. We're not getting better. Our country is getting worse. Have you been to the gas pumps lately? It's not getting better. Have you been to the grocery store lately? It's not getting better. And I tell you, there's not a whole lot to be joyful about in our country today. Right here in the state of Maryland, we have a governor who is bent on getting gay marriage approved in this state. Oh, we're not getting better. I watched this thing 2 weeks ago when I was home sick, and they were talking about how 47 million years ago, and I started to laugh, and 47 million years ago. Where do you get that number? Oh, well, the Big Bang. Yeah, the Big Bang's at the end, not at the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Come on, read your Bible. Don't listen to some scientist who doesn't believe in God. Listen to God. And God said, in the beginning. And they say, well, you know, we're evoluting to a higher level, to a greater plane. No, we're not. We are devoluting to a lower level. We are not getting better. We're getting worse. But thank God, notice that when the Lord comes back and the saints of God are with him, we are clothed in the white garment, the garment of joy. Folks, listen. Our world today is full of sadness and despair. But just imagine, Christian, the day is coming when the saints of God, those that know the Lord, will overcome the curse of sin that is upon this old world of ours and that has brought such despair to this world. And when we stand in the presence of the Lord, all of the things that robbed us of our joy will all be done away with. There will be no more sickness and no more sorrow and no more pain and no more disease and no more loneliness and no more separation and no more suffering. The flesh, the curse, the sin, it'll all be gone. And all the redeemed will gather around the throne of God and realize that our wonderful Savior is the one who has wiped it all away. Do you know him this morning, my friend? If you don't, you need to know the Savior. You need Jesus as your Savior. And there we will be, robed in the joyous white robes of heaven. This shows me something, folks. This verse shows me that overcoming, living the victorious Christian life, standing for right, doing right, serving the Lord, this shows me that overcoming is the road to joy. I especially want all of our young people to listen to me right now. Young people, listen to your pastor this morning. You think that real joy is the ability to do whatever you want to do. It's not. You think that happiness is found in being free of rules and regulations so that you can just follow whatever fancy your sinful heart desires. That is not where you'll find happiness. That's not where happiness is found. If to be happy is your main desire, you're never going to be happy in life. A young man or a young lady who is just bent on having a good time and is going to find out at about age 40 or 50 what a fool he or she has been. For sin and the flesh and the world is never going to provide for you the happiness that you're looking for. The road to happiness is the one where the believer takes up the cross of the Savior and with the cross tramples upon all the obstacles that are in his or her path and marches on and overcomes those things that would prevent them from serving and loving the Savior. That's where happiness is found. It is found in a right relationship with God. And the way to find true joy is to follow after the Lord and put him first. Do you not remember what the Savior said in the manifesto of the kingdom in Matthew 6 and 7? Here's what he said. He said, but seek ye first. Not second, not third, but seek ye first. You say, well, I wonder what the Greek word for first is. First. It means first. So I have to get my lexicon out and research that. Let me spare you the time. It means first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. I'm telling you, folks, if you want joy, walk with the Lord. Put him first. Get in his word and the joy will be yours. That's where you find joy. I'm saying to you that white is the color of joy. Then fourthly, I want you to notice that white is the color of heavenly service. I find it amazing that when you get into the New Testament, whenever angels are mentioned in the Bible, that they are always referred to as wearing white apparel. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing to me. Do you remember the women that came to the tomb on resurrection morning? And they looked inside of the tomb and they saw that it was empty. But inside were two angels. And they were dressed in white apparel. Angels dressed in white. Messengers of heaven sent to inform the women that Christ was not there, but that he had risen from the dead. Do you remember when the Lord Jesus ascended up into heaven? The Bible says that these two angels came and appeared to the disciples as they watched him go into heaven. Two angels that were dressed in white apparel. Amazing. I'm saying to you that white in the Bible is the color of heavenly service. You say, well, Pastor, why would I be wearing white raiment in heaven? I'm not an angel. That's true, but I didn't say that white is the color of angels. I said white is the color of heavenly service. And when you and I get to heaven, when the Lord comes back and raptures the church out of here and we are in his presence, we are then servants that will help him rule and reign this world during the millennium. I mean, think about it. We're servants. We are going to help him. We come back with him according to Joel 2 and 3. We come back with him and we are in the army that will help him deliver Israel from its enemies. We will free Jerusalem. I mean, hey, we're in the fray. Read Joel 2 and 3. We come back. And Joel saw us in that vision and he said, we are mighty ones. That's what he saw in me. Little old puny me. I'm going to be a mighty one of these days. Man, I'm looking forward to that. I think that's going to be exciting. Joel said, you can go from housetop to housetop. Can you imagine? And he said, you'll get shot, you won't feel it. Read it. I'm not making this up. Go back and read Joel chapter 2 and 3. You say, well, what are we doing? We're serving. That's what we're doing. And notice here, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. Go to Revelation 19 and read about it. And John said, I saw him coming out of heaven. And he had a banner from here to here that said, King of kings and Lord of lords. And he's wearing a white garment. And those of us that are saved are behind him, coming with him. Oh my, folks, it's the color of heavenly service. We come with him to help him defeat the beast and his armies. And then we stay here during the millennium and we rule and reign with him. I'm going to put my requisition in for Maryland. Oh, we're not having gay marriage then. We're not going to have any slot machines then. No, sir. Not going to be in liquor stores in my state. No, sir. I'm going to straighten all that out. You wait and see. So my text speaks to those who serve with Christ while he reigns as the sovereign King of kings and Lord of lords. That's us. He that overcometh shall be clothed in white raiment. Then there's one last thing. Lastly, do not forget, folks, that white is symbolic of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It's symbolic of Jesus himself. You say, well, how do you get that? All right. Do you remember in the Gospels, do you remember the passage of Scripture that we call the hour of transfiguration? You remember that? Oh, that was something special. The Lord Jesus took three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, the inner circle, and they went up on the mountain from the rest of the disciples. And the Bible says that while they were up there, that the Lord Jesus was transfigured. Moses and Elijah showed up. Remember that? And while Moses and Elijah were there, Jesus was transfigured. And it says that that his garments and his face did shine. He was just as white, just glowing. Now, if you've noticed in your Bible, up at the top of your Bible, you'll have a little reminder of what's on this page. Does your Bible have that? You have a little thing like right here in Revelation 3. It says the messages to Smyrna and Pergamos and Thyatira and Sardis and Philadelphia and Laodicea. So it's just telling you what's on the page. If you go to the Gospels and find where the writer is telling you about the transfiguration, it's not going to say anything in there about the hour of a heavenly conference. It's not going to say that. Although a heavenly conference took place. I mean, you had Jesus and you had two old dead guys, Moses and Elijah, they showed up. So there was a heavenly conference, but that's not what it's called in the Bible. It doesn't mention that at all. We do not call it the day when two dead Old Testament prophets showed up. We never refer to that. I would never stand up here and preach to you and say, you know, this morning I want to speak to you about the heavenly conference. I want to speak to you about the day two dead guys showed up and talked to Jesus. If I'm going to refer to that passage, I would always say, folks, I want to speak this morning on the transfiguration. Because that's what it's about. It's all about the transfiguration. We call it the hour of the transfiguration. Why? Because that was the wonder of what happened in that hour. In that one hour, out of his 33 and a half years of life, where a little more of heaven's glory shone upon him than normal. And when it did, his garments did shine with such a whiteness that no dry cleaners in the world could have matched it. Now, the question you got to ask yourself is this. When they went up on that mountain, what color clothes was he wearing to begin with? You say, well, how would we ever know that? We wouldn't. My point is, it doesn't matter. When he was transfigured, he became white. When he was transfigured, whatever he was wearing became white. His garment was a dazzling and lustrous white. And I'm saying to you folks, listen to me now, when we get to heaven, we will be clothed in white. But wait a minute. Does not the Bible tell us that we shall be like him when we see him? He's wearing white. We're going to be like him. We're going to wear white too. We're going to be just like him. Why? For we shall see him as he is. He will be glorified. He was glorified in the transfiguration. It was just a picture of what is coming. He just showed Peter, James, and John, and it was recorded for our benefit in the Gospels. But it was just a little preview of the glory that is to come. And folks, the good news is his glory is our glory. For we will be just like him. He's clothed in white. We will be clothed in white. The question has to be, dear friend, are you going to be there? You see, that's the bottom line. Are you going to be there? Do you know the Savior? Do you know the Lord Jesus? And the only way that you can overcome and be there is by putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, if you don't know him, my friend, let me introduce you to him this morning.